And at 7:06, we have partly sunny skies here this morning and 35 degrees, your current temperature. We look for a high near 53 today under sunny skies. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a Council Bluffs man after a traffic stop near Red Oak on Friday. Officers stopped a vehicle at the intersection of D Avenue and Highway 34 west of Red Oak at 10:29 p.m. Friday. 26-year-old Michael David Sutton of Council Bluffs was then arrested for four valid Pottawatomie County warrants: failure to appear on probation violation, OWI first offense, and two counts of driving while barred. Sutton was transported to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on $20,000 bond. The Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of a 35-year-old Omaha woman on Friday night on East Corning Street in Red Oak. At 10:30 p.m., officers arrested Jeanette Lee Gessler of Omaha on an active Montgomery County warrant for theft in the fifth degree. Gessler was transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $300 cash bond. The Cass County Sheriff's Office reports an Atlantic woman was arrested Thursday on three Cass County warrants. 56-year-old Mary Helen Adams faces charges that include delivery of methamphetamine, a Class C felony, possession of methamphetamine, second offense, aggravated misdemeanor, prohibited acts, an aggravated misdemeanor, possession of marijuana, a serious misdemeanor, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Adams was taken to the Cass County Jail, where she remains held on $10,000 bond. And on Tuesday, deputies in Cass County arrested 27-year-old Aaron Lee Inken of Atlantic on a district court warrant for a probation violation. Inken was taken to the Cass County Jail and remains held on $10,000 bond. A public hearing has been set for this coming week in the Cam School District with regard to an early start waiver for the 2015-16 school year. The Cam School Board is set to hold the hearing during a meeting that begins at 5 p.m. on Tuesday in the Cam High School Media Center in Oneida. The board will act on a resolution to approve establishing an early start date following the hearing. In other business, the Cam School Board will offer their response to the Cam Education Association's initial bargaining proposal for the 2015-16 master contract. Debates over when the school year should begin are playing out in districts around the country, with lawmakers trying to balance concerns about local control, academic rigor, and tourism revenue. Business owners express growing worries that earlier starts in August hurt tourism revenue during the critical summer months. Many educators say starting sooner helps them better prepare students for standardized tests, advanced placement courses, and end-of-semester exams. The tension boils down to whether state or local leaders should be deciding. Lawmakers in several states, including Iowa, Arizona, Maryland, and Texas, are currently considering measures on opposite sides of the debate. Iowa lawmakers are trying to find a compromise agreeable to educators and tourism officials. In Texas, which set a requirement in 2006, lawmakers are trying to give districts more flexibility. The Walnut City Council met Thursday evening and held a public hearing on the fiscal year 2015-16 city budget. Deputy City Clerk Shannon Wood told KJN News that the budget was adopted by the council following the hearing. Wood said also no action was taken with regard to the possible acquisition of the Walnut Community School building. A committee will meet the first week of April to discuss what, if anything, should be done with the building. Last month, city was offered the chance by Walnut Superintendent Jesse Ulrich to acquire the building. At the time, a decision was then made to form a committee comprised of the mayor and two council people, school board members, and members of the public to decide what they want the facility to become. They also discussed the possibility of hiring a consultant or an architect to conduct a feasibility study and facility study on the building. The Walnut City Council also gave the go-ahead for intern Mary Bierbaum to develop a community garden. Wood says Bierbaum will be applying for some grants to help with the raised flower and or vegetable garden beds. Iowa Insurance Commissioner Nick Gearhart has announced that beginning today, the Iowa and Nebraska Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Associations will begin paying health care providers more than $80 million in outstanding eligible claims for health care services provided to Co-Opportunity Health members in Iowa and Nebraska. And they say that we're pleased to that providers in Iowa and Nebraska will be paid for the health care services they provided to Co-Opportunity policyholders, Gearhart said. As we have stated previously, these guarantee funds are in place to protect impacted Iowans and Nebraskans. All providers under contract with Co-Opportunity that offered health care services will be paid up to $500,000 per individual for claims submitted to Co-Opportunity. The Iowa Insurance Division continues to work to transition people in Iowa and Nebraska out of Co-Opportunity Health. Nebraska has 11,135 remaining members, while Iowa has 2,619 remaining members as of March 5th. The Iowa Insurance Division is projecting that money recouped from the Federal Reinsurance, Risk Corridor, and Risk Adjustment Program on behalf of Co-Opportunity Health will be used to help pay back the Iowa and Nebraska Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Associations and other outstanding creditors. A Senate committee has approved a bill that would require contact information for elected public officials in Iowa to be published online in a timely manner. A state government committee has approved the bill unanimously Thursday and now heads to the full Senate for consideration. The bill would require an entity to post contact information for an elected public official within 30 days of the official swearing into the position. A public official includes lawmakers, county board supervisors, city council members, and board members of a school district. Some lobbyists speaking earlier Thursday expressed concern about whether private information would be required. Senator Jeff Danielson, a Cedar Falls Democrat and committee chairman, says the bill is aimed at ensuring the public can easily reach officials not disclosing private information. That's a look at some of the latest local news here on KJN. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. Jerry L. Lauertson, age 75, of Audubon, died Wednesday at the Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Jerry Lauertson will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home Audubon has the arrangements. Olivine L. Mindenhall, age 93, of Audubon, died on Tuesday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Olivine Mindenhall will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry England Funeral Home in Audubon. Delbert Dell Leroy Christensen, age 75, of Council Bluffs, died February 22nd at home. Funeral services for Dell Christensen will be held on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. at the New Horizon Presbyterian Church in Council Bluffs. Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Funeral Home in Council Bluffs has arrangements. Helen M. Shiflett, age 95, formerly of the Earlham area, died on February 18th in Newton, Kansas. Funeral services for Helen Shiflett will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Worthington Methodist Church in rural Madison County. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has the arrangements. Roger Sandhorse, age 65, of Atlantic, died Thursday at home. A celebration of life service for Roger Sandhorse will be held Wednesday at 11 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic has arrangements. Janice Ray Wanninger, age 77, of Manning, died Tuesday. A mass of Christian burial service for Janice Wanninger will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. And Larry Eisenbeis, age 73, of Greenfield, died on Friday at home. Funeral services for Larry Eisenbeis were pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.